Ephesians 4:11, he himself gave some to be what? Apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? The what? The what? The what? Equipping for of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of what? The faith and the what? And the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, in the fullness and understanding of who he is in the character. See, that's one of the things the devil steals. He wants you to know your character instead of Jesus' character. Everybody, and then what he does is he begins to steal the character of Christ, because the Bible says the devil came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He, let me tell you something. That's how he manipulates people. That's how he uses people. You know, but one of the things we've got to constantly do is constantly advance and drive out the enemy. You men, you're to be driving out the enemy of your homes. If you're not driving out the enemy of your homes, you're losing it on a daily process, on a daily basis. If you're not doing your warfare, you're an idiot. Do y'all get it? If you're not doing your warfare, you're a bonehead. Well, the stuff that you've learned here, you better use it or you'll lose it. We get stuff from the throne room of God that can tear up a nation. And you got to start using it. Because you've got to advance the kingdom of, you've got to advance the kingdom of God. And if you're not taking advantage of the things that God has given us, you'll lose it. You can't be caught up on what you see, what you feel. Remember, it says that God has placed us in ministries to be equipped. Well, let me tell you something. You that are in this room are more equipped than many people. Hello? And for much is given, much is accountable. So just because you know a lot, hello? That means if you know a lot, then you should be taking more ground than someone who doesn't. And you will be accountable for how much territory you take. And you'll also be accountable for how much territory you lose. Are you hearing? This is by the Spirit. This is not in my notes. The Scripture is not even in my notes. You are accountable. Every one of us in this room is accountable for how much territory we take and how much territory we lose. You are accountable. Can all things work to the good? Yes. You cannot turn around and regret, because that will stop the flow of the anointing. You must go on. But you must learn from your mistakes. Does everybody understand that? That's the only way things will work to the good. If you haven't learned from your mistakes, then it's not working to the good. The Bible says, make no place to the devil. Amen. The only reason why there's place to the devil is because people are not driving out the devil. Are you hearing? That's what Jesus did, though. If you read from the beginning, and we talked about it. Remember, we talked about the breakthrough anointing. Amen. We talked about the 777 and the cycle that needs to be broken, so that we continue to advance. It's not about what's going on in your circumstance right now. You still must take territory, even if it doesn't seem like you're winning. That's what the devil wants you to see. That's what he wants you to believe. Why? So you give up. And once you've given up territory. It's our responsibility to drive out the enemy. And if you're not driving him out, he's driving you out. Are you understanding this? Hallelujah. Listen, if you're hanging around with people that are still demonized and don't want demons to come out of them, get rid of them. Hello? I'm not going to hang around with somebody that's still demonized. You want it? Here it is. You don't want it? See ya. What am I doing? I'm driving them out. Person wants the demons, they can go out too. Hello? Oh, praise God. There is a covenant in the Spirit called the spiritual covenant of circumcision. And the spiritual covenant of circumcision. And circumcision is associated with the number 8. And we are entering 2008 here shortly, aren't we? Amen. I want you to go to Leviticus 12, please. Oh, hallelujah. Leviticus 12. Praise you, Lord. So you can do all the hallelujah, all the tongue speaking, all the other stuff, and not move the enemy out of your territory. And he's going to eventually move you out. Does everybody understand? How many of y'all know we're in a war? You know, the problem that happens is we get blessed and we think we have victory. Blessing is not associated with victories. Blessing is associated with the mercies of God. It's got nothing to do with your victory. Because there are people who are blessed and are in left field. And they're going to wake up in hell with all their blessings. Do you remember that man that rose from the dead? Who was it? Funky in Africa? Reinhard Funky? They had an interview with that man. And I'm going to tell you something really simple. He was a preacher. And his wife offended him. And he didn't talk to her for 2 or 3 days. He got in an accident and woke up in hell. And the angel of the Lord told him, that's what put you there, because you didn't forgive. And he said, I've been preaching for years. And he said, because my wife upset me and offended me, and I wouldn't make reconciliation. It sent him to hell, because he died. Do you all understand that? First, God took him to heaven, showed him heaven. Then he took him to hell. And he showed him the torment of hell. Because he had resentment towards his spouse. And he died in an accident. Now you may think, my God, come on, God's more merciful than that. For much is given, much is required. And for much is required, much is accountable. See, people want to know it all and move in the anointing. But there's a price. There's a price to pay. You no longer have a life. Your life is attached to the throne room of God. And that's that. You must come out of the world and not be a part of it. Does everybody understand? Just because of the resentment there, that man ended up in hell. And the Lord told him, this is where you belong. This is where you're going. I think he was a little frightened. Oh, you betcha. God gave him another chance. And God used Reinhard Bunke to raise a man from the dead. And that was him. See, the Bible says that during the end days that the love of God will wax hard on people. They'll lose it. They'll be so caught up in everything else according to the world, in pleasing man and everything else, that they're going to lose the area of their reverence to God. I don't care how religious you are, how much you pray in the Spirit, and all of these other things. God says something very powerful. I'm not asking for your sacrifices. I'm asking for your obedience. People get caught up in their sacrifices and what they have to put up with instead of their obedience. which gets them in trouble because of not obeying. Amen? Does everybody understand? In Leviticus, hallelujah, 12, is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting there. I know it's in the Bible. Come on. Thank you. I'll lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. Glory! Leviticus 12, starting at verse 1. If you would read that with me, please. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. As in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be what? Circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. When the days of her purifications are fulfilled, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year of burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then she shall offer it before the Lord, or he shall, and make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has borne a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering, so the priest may make atonement for her and she will be what? Clean. 8 days is a covenant. In other words, the 8th day is a representation of a spiritual covenant. And this is how God utilized it in the Old Testament. Now, we know that God made covenant with Noah by the rainbow. Amen. He said he would never kill man again. That was a covenant between God and mankind. Now God made another covenant, and he said, look, here's what's going to happen. Every male child, on the 8th day, you will circumcise them. And this will be my covenant with you. Does everybody understand that? Now, he also said, now that's pretty well because he does it for, actually, the purification time for a woman, for a male child, is actually 40 days. And for a female child, is 80 days. And I'll explain this. Because these are called life cycles. Now, we talked about some life cycles. And if you look in scriptures and see all the times about representation of 40, amen? Remember, the Jews were in the wilderness how many years? 40, because he was ending that what? That life cycle, that generation. He said, this generation shall not enter the promised land. Why? Because of their disobedience. So he kept them out in the wilderness for 40 years till they died off. And then the other ones that were born from out of that generation are the ones that inherited. Why? Because that's a life cycle. Remember, we talked about ending the life cycle, that 777 is a representation of ending this life cycle. And if you don't break off all that stuff, it's going to come back again. Has everybody got it? Okay. Hallelujah. Now, so the offering was, of course, the turtle offering. And then the lamb offering, and then this was because either they didn't have enough money for a lamb, okay, and so they did turtle doves. Is everybody with me? Okay, now, again, I want to share with you that this is a life cycle of purification, but it was an area where the male child, because he was the promised covenant, okay, the male child, the woman, would do it 40 days, and for a female, it was for 80 days because she was doing purification for herself and her daughter. Is everybody with me? Okay. Praise God. Go to Luke 2. Spiritual covenant of circumcision. See, because if you look at a life cycle, it brings an opportunity for new, doesn't it? Amen? When we're in these life cycles and we break these life cycles, it's very important that the covenant is still there through the circumcision. Oh, hallelujah. We'll talk more about this. Luke 2. Is everybody there? Praise God. Luke 2 and verse 21. Luke 2, 21. To God be the glory. Would you read it with me? And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now Jesus was circumcised as a baby for a covenant. Amen. Does everybody understand that? It's a representation of covenant. Circumcision is a representation of covenant, which allows you to have a new beginning. Does everybody understand that? Circumcision is an area, because it's on the 8th day, it allows you to have a what? New beginning. Do you know that when you came to Christ, you were circumcised spiritually? That's what got you a new beginning. And we'll talk more about this. Okay? Now, and of course, Mary fulfilled her purification 40 days. Amen? So she had to do it also. Now, in Luke 4, if you'll go there for a minute. And they can only offer a turtle dove because they didn't have the money to offer a lamb. Of course, he was the lamb, praise God. And Luke 4, in verse 1 and 2, would you look at this, please, and read it with me? Then Jesus, being what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and that's where he was baptized, in water, right? And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being tempted for 40 days by the devil, in those days he ate nothing, and afterward when they ended, he was what? Hungry. So I want you to understand something. This is very important. 40 days. Now you got to remember, the Bible says that Jesus came to fulfill the law, didn't he? I was asking the Lord today, I said, Lord, why did Jesus go in the wilderness for 40 days? He said, for purification. I said, what do you mean? He said, yes, because he had to purify. He took the place of the woman to do purification for mankind. Does everybody understand this? So he went through purification for mankind, for all mankind on the earth. Now the devil tried to stop his purification. Does everybody understand this? So while Jesus was in the wilderness, we thought he was in there just to go through training. No, I mean, you know, remember what Jesus only took 40 days, praise God. But the reason why he took the 40 days, of course, was according to the law, because he was fulfilling the law. Amen. And he was doing the purification for mankind. So everybody got it? Good. Now go to Acts 1. Everybody there? Acts 1 and verse 1. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during what? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He was being seen by them 40 days after his resurrection, which brought purification. Now understand this. When Jesus rose from the dead, he brought the purified blood to heaven and came back down to what? Complete his purification. Why? So man could enter into heaven now. Do you understand that? So there was a double purification. What was the first purification for? Man on earth. Amen. Why? So you can enter the kingdom of God here on earth. And then the second purification was for the resurrection of the eternal life of man in heaven. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. And that brought a what? New beginning. Didn't it? Brought a new beginning. Why? Because of the purification. But first he had to make covenant by circumcision. Why? Because those are the promises of God. Does everybody get it? So the promises of God were granted and he fulfilled them all. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Genesis 17. Oh, praise God. So for some of you who've never been circumcised, you can see me after church. Come on, lighten up. Some of y'all are starting to sweat. It's okay, man. He's up. Thank you. Jesus paid the price for you. You're all right. In verse 9, Acts 17, verse 9. I mean, Genesis 17. I'm sorry. Genesis 17, verse 9. Thank you for correcting me, all of you. Praise God. In verse 9, can you all read it with me now? Since you all corrected me, you can read it with me anyway. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be what? Circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He was born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who was not your descendant. He was born in your house and he was bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. That's powerful. Where's the covenant? In the flesh. Has everybody got that? See, so you know what you should do every time when you buy something? Break the curse off. What? And turn it over to the Lord. Do y'all understand that? It says that everything should be circumcised. Anything, whether it's been bought, of course, according to the mail, but we're not talking about mail in today's day, are we? We're talking about everything that comes of me and you should be turned over to the Lord. Does everybody got it? Everything that you buy, there should be a curse broke off. Lord, anything that's in my house, I break every curse off and I turn it over to you. Why? Because that blessing could be your stumbling block. Does everybody get this? Oh, hallelujah. So the covenant is in the what? The flesh. That's why the word became flesh. Do you all understand this? Okay. Go to verse 26. Let's see. Go to 25. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael and all the men of his house born in the house or bought with the money from the foreigner were circumcised with him. Does everybody get it? So Abraham circumcised everyone in his association of his home to fulfill and maintain covenant. Now that was a covenant between him, God, and his descendants. Go to Deuteronomy 30. Go to Deuteronomy 30. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 30. I really, really like you to get an understanding of the Old Testament so that we can move on to the New Covenant. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Is everybody there? Good, I'm getting there. Tight. Tight numbers. There we go. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. Hello? Return to the Lord and do what? Obey. Is it what you're reading with me? Good. And return to the Lord and obey his voice according to all that I command you today. And your children and all your, with all of your heart and with all of your what? Soul. That the Lord your God will bring you back from what? Captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your what? Your heart and the heart of your descendants to what? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and all those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all of his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You know, and this is so important about returning to the Lord, because you know that every day you return to the Lord. Every day you get up, you're turning to the Lord. You're returning to the Lord. Amen. Once you sleep and you get up, you're returning to the Lord. Hello? And by doing this, we are maintaining covenant. And he says, if you'll obey me, all of these things will come upon you. Amen? Look at, he's talking about cutting back your heart. Cutting back the flesh to expose your heart. Amen? Cut off the hardening of the heart, which protects self. So his love can flow and his blessings in a renewed state of a new beginning. See, the Bible says that every day is brand new. Amen? So every day you need to return to the Lord. That's why you give your first fruits to him every day. And as you give your first fruits to him, you are maintaining covenant. When you stop giving your first fruits to him, are you listening? You have opened the door to the devil. Why? Because you didn't fulfill covenant. Are you understanding this? And you know, and I keep sharing every day, man, when you get up in the morning and you give yourself to the Lord, then you better do warfare. You better drive out the enemy. Because that is our responsibility, isn't it? Amen? See, so we can, you and I can stay in, maintain a state of renewed every day. Every day we can maintain a state of renewed. And renewed what? Renewed in the spirit. By doing what? By giving your first fruits. Hello? By returning to the Lord every day. Every single day. When you miss a day, hello? You missed him. And you've opened yourself to the devil. I can tell you that right now. You cannot miss a day, no matter what. Because why? Every day is new. Do you know when you miss a day, you break covenant? Are you hearing that? Why? Because you made a covenant that you would give yourself to Him every day. When you accept that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, you don't have a life. You have to surrender it every day. Or what happens then, you begin to fight for your life. That's a fruit of drifting away. When you find yourself fighting for your life, hello, to maintain it, when you start finding yourself fighting for your money, when you start fighting for all of these things, and I'm not saying about pushing back the enemy. I'm talking about struggling with what's going on in your life. The only reason why people struggle, hello, is because they're still fighting for their life. I don't see dead people struggling. In fact, I don't hear anything come out of their mouth. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Jeremiah 4. Praise God. But I got bills to pay that don't get any. That's how you resolve it. Don't get any more bills than what you need to have. Amen? Jeremiah 4. Oh, hallelujah. How many of y'all know we're going to a new beginning? We're going to a new beginning, man. I'm telling you right now. But you got to break off the old to get to the new. Jeremiah 4 and the first four verses. Would you read it with me? If you will what? Return, O Israel, says the Lord. Return to me, and if you will what? Put away your abominations out of my sight. Then you shall not be what? Moved. You know what the greatest abomination is? You. So, does everybody understand that? We're the worst abomination there can be for God. What do you mean, me? The child of God is not. The self is. God does not associate with self, so he associates with his children. Does everybody understand that? That's why the Bible says God does not hear the proud, but he hears the humble. Amen. The child of God is humble. The child of the enemy is proud. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. And you shall swear the Lord lives in truth and judgment and in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. Do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your what? Your heart. You men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Ooh. Hallelujah. Worst abomination is self. It's worldly, carnal mindedness. Don't look at what you've lost. See, this is one of the ploys of the enemy. Man, you know what I used to have? Who cares what you used to have? God don't care. Don't look at what you've lost, but what you've gained. And you know what you've gained? Another opportunity. See, if people look at the another opportunity that they've gained instead of looking at what they've lost, they won't fall into regret, which stops the flow of the anointing. What anointing is that? The anointing to break through. Hey, come on, y'all get this? Why? Because you are under covenant now. He is faithful to complete what he started. But the enemy will move you off course quickly. So you cannot look at what you've lost. Hello? Well, I've lost my wife, my children, my money, my this, my that, so what? You cannot look at what you've lost. You've got another opportunity now. If you're caught up in what you've lost, the anointing won't flow. Why? Because you're now associated with regret. And regret will prevent the breakthrough anointing from coming. Has everybody got it? What have you gained? Another opportunity. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's go somewhere else. Now, what? Let's see. Ooh, now listen. What, a regret, we just talked about it. It prevents the breakthrough anointing from coming, right? Well, as a breakthrough anointing comes and continues, it allows us to be in a place of new beginning. Now, you may say, what do you mean new beginning? Well, yeah, new beginnings, new levels of love. Hello? Other levels that are available for you. As long as you allow that, you don't regret and you don't go back. Because see, when you regret, you have a tendency to touch everything from your past. And when you begin to touch things from your past, it opens the door to the enemy. Then you get woe is me, and you just filled your soul with all kinds of garbage of memories of all of this other stuff that you've been associated with, of all the dumb, boneheaded things we've done and mistakes we've done. But you can't go there. Amen? You must go forward, constantly driving out the enemy. Amen? Hallelujah? Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Now listen, there are new beginnings of levels of love. There's a new beginning of level of anointing. There's a new beginning of level of health. Had you ever heard anybody get healed? Yes. See, regret will prevent these things from flowing. How about more revelation? How about more wisdom and knowledge? Man, if you're spending all your time on regret, you ain't getting nothing. That's all you're doing is still touching the past, aren't you? Amen. And then it prevents you from driving out the enemy, doesn't it? Because you're too caught up in yourself or your past. Now you're not driving out nothing. That's all he's doing is he's slowly creeping in closer, moving you over, starts giving you the butt, you know, to push you out. The butt box, you know, starts moving you out and you're still caught up in yourself and all the regrets. The next thing you find yourself out of your own house. And you're, wow, how did I get here? Well, you took butt ministry. You became the tail and not the head. And you got pushed right out of position all the way. Why? Because you were caught up on yourself. What was this, Mises? Hello? Why? Because you were touching regret. You were touching regret. Oh my God, it's raining out. I'm going to miss the day's pay. Oh, so you're trusting in you still? Who think brought the rain? Hello? Oh, the devil did it. No, maybe the Lord did it. So you took a day off and spent some time with him? Yeah, but you don't understand. No, you don't understand. You're caught up in self and worldliness. And Adam in the throne room and the king. Do you understand this? Oh, hallelujah, we'll see. Hebrews 3. But I have bills to pay. Well, then don't get any. Hello? We all have bills to pay. But the less bills you have, it's easier. Amen? Didn't you know Satan's right-hand man is called Bill? And his partner is called Debt. Hallelujah. Praise God. Regret. Regret will kill you. Amen? Then people wishing for something that's way out there that they're not even supposed to have. There was this couple. I'm going to tell you a joke. There was this couple. They were 60 years old. And they were servants of the Lord.
And see if I can remember it. Pray for me. And and the angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, "You guys have been good. God wants to reward you. What do you want?" And the wife says, "You know, man, I would like to go to Alaska. I've never had a vacation in Alaska. And, you know, I just want to smell the fresh air and the coolness." And poof, she was there. Whoa. So he asked the husband, he said, "Well, what do you want?" He says, "Well, you know, can I talk to you privately?" And the angel said, "Yeah, what's up?" He goes, "Well, you know, I always wanted a 30-year-old young wife that was 30 years younger." He became 90. Hallelujah! So be careful what you're asking for, man. It better be God's will and not your own. Hello? See, he was in line with covenant, right? So he got what he asked for, didn't he? Praise God. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Some of y'all religious ones are going, "Man, what's he doing telling a joke during Bible study?" You just got exposed. You better get rid of that devil and drive him out, because he's going to drive you out. Hello? Little religious devil. Hebrews 3 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts." They always go astray where? In their hearts. See, that's why he says, "Seek me with all of your heart," because when you don't, your heart goes astray. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. "Therefore, I was angry with that generation," in verse 10, "and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of your sin. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast." To when? To what? Ooh. If we what? If we hold steadfast to the end. See, the enemy's always going to try to drive you off course, but I'm telling you right now, the breakthrough anointing God is releasing so that we complete this and go on to that new beginning. Remember, you can never go to a new beginning until you broke the old. Does everybody understand that? You must break the old, then you can go to the new. If you're still bringing the old into the new, it's like bringing old wine into a new wineskin, and it's not going to work. Does everybody understand that? Don't harden your heart. Don't get caught up with your circumstances. Don't get caught up in your regrets. Don't get caught up in your finances. Don't get caught up in anything, but turn it over to the Lord and trust Him. Amen? You know, the enemy's always going to try to tell you, "Look it, man, you can't do this, you can't do that." But the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And all things are available to those who what? Believe. Amen? So listen, don't speak out what your heart feels. Speak out what the Word of God says. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with Him. When Jesus showed up in the wilderness to do the purification for 40 days, He was tempted by the devil. He didn't say, "Hold on, I'll be back." He didn't say, "You know, I really have a headache. I'll talk to you later." Does everybody understand? You know what he did? He said,
Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. See, he was living in the wilderness by the word of God because he was of the circumcision of covenant. So he knew it was in time for him to die, no matter what circumstance came around. No matter what's going on. It's the same thing when you go back when we talk about how many times Jesus put his disciples in a boat and said, I'll meet you to the other side. And they screamed and cried and everything else because of the wind and whatever, thinking they were going to die in the water when the Lord said, I'll meet you on the other side. Why? Because he was going. They were going to the other side no matter what. Does everybody get it? Go to Acts 7. Oh, hallelujah. Don't be asking for something. Turn out to be 90 years old. Unless for something that ain't right. Oh, but Lord, you know I need this. No, you don't. Verse 51. Come on, read it with me. You what? Stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. He called them what? Stiff-necked and uncircumcised. They come together. What did he mean? Because you didn't allow the heart to be removed of that hardening. Amen? Stiff-necked. Not red-necked. Stiff-necked. Hello? There's a difference. There's a lot of holy rednecks out there, man. You kidding? Romans 2. Man, you never know what's going to happen on Tuesday night. I can tell you that. Because I don't know. Romans 2, 25. Praise God. For the circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the what? Spirit, not the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. You know, some people think that they're right with God because they believe the word. Yes, man, I read the word 60 hours a day. I believe it, but I have my own will. Then they boast in how much they know and how much they do. Hello, but they're not doing the will of God. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Remember, this is circumcision in the spirit, not in the letter. It's totally different. Galatians 6. Everybody there? Oh, we're going through. We're going in a new beginning. It's happening. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Amen. His mercies are new every day, every morning. brand new. Galatians 6 and verse 11, would you read it with me? See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. And he didn't write big letters because they could not see. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new beginning. Does everybody understand it? Because why? Well, there's a new Christ, there's a what? New creation, there's a what? New beginning. Do you understand? Let me share something with you. New creation isn't a one-time event. It's consistent. So where there's a new creation, there's a new beginning. Why? Because he did the spiritual circumcision for me and you that we can be brand new on a daily basis, not just a one-time event on the eighth day. It's a spiritual covenant of circumcision that he paid for me and you. That's why the Word became flesh and was beaten. That's why he was striped. That's why he was crucified, because that was the living circumcision for all mankind. All mankind. Amen. Praise God. Go to Philippians 3. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Are you getting this? Praise God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but is for your sake. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Man, he sounded like a right dude. He had it all down in religion. Yet, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish, that I may what? Gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to close at Romans 15. All praise God. Romans 15 and verse 7. Don't look back and don't regret. You can't change it anyways, can you? Amen. The only thing you can do is go forward. Romans 15, verse 7, would you read it with me? Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers,
and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to the reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." Now may the God of all of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. 2008 is around the corner. Everything is in preparation. Everything is falling into place. We're not looking for 2008 to become a new beginning for us. We're looking at the circumcision that Jesus paid to be the covenant new beginning for us. Does everybody understand that? It's already pre-done. But there's going to be a mass move of the Spirit where the body of Christ is going to come globally closer together in an expression of another level and a new beginning in 2008. Amen. But you know what? It's available for me and you right now as individuals. But one of the things we must do is break the old to get to the new. We can't look back. He paid the price for me and you. You can't regret. You can't try to, you gotta let go and go forward. Amen. Why? Because of the spiritual covenant circumcision that he did for me and you. It's permanent. It's there. It's like a permanent covenant line that runs over us constantly. You know, that you can just grab hold to any time in covenant because it's there. The thing is people let go. They get moved. They get swayed. They get things of life and all kinds of other stuff move them out. And they begin to get in the area of self and everything else that portrays and glorifies and boasts of the flesh. And it moves them right out of position and they miss God. And there's going to be more. Remember, your fight yesterday is easier today. And your fight today will be easier than tomorrow. Yeah. It'll be easier today than tomorrow. Do y'all get it? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you. We are honored and blessed, and we thank you for the price of your Son. And Lord, we grab hold of the covenant that has been available for us this whole time. Your word became flesh. It was crucified. You purified and set everything in stage for us. And for that we are so grateful. Grateful. Lord, let us have a new beginning, even starting tonight. Starting right now, where everything can be washed away. Washed and brand new right now. Right now, this moment, this second, this breath. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah.